Shall we pray? Father, we come before you, O Lord, as a people set apart unto you, Father, a people purchased in the blood of the Lamb, a people, O God, unveiled, O God, to your purposes, Father. And we know, Lord, that your growing purposes in our lives will be made manifest in us in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We know that this realization will come forth in hearts circumcised by the Holy Spirit, in hearts established in covenant with you, Father, in the merits of the Lamb, in hearts unveiled, O God, in the substance of the Master's fullness, in hearts, O God, that are created, O God, pure and undefiled, Father, that we will be a people set apart unto you, that we will be a people, O God, who will truly, O God, rise, O God, to do the things that you want us to do. Because you are the Almighty God, nothing will be impossible in our lives, Father. Because, Lord, what you have ordained in our lives will come forth. So enable us to understand, Lord, that you mean for us to walk before you and to be blameless before you, Father. That this will take place, O God, because you are the Almighty God. Because you are the All-Sufficient One, Father. That you will truly establish covenant with us by circumcising our hearts, Father. And manifesting in us a heart of flesh that is of the substance of the Master's fullness. That your word will be released into us. In the spirit and life of Jesus, it will be established in us in the faith of Jesus, our Lord. It will be fulfilled in us in the love of Jesus. It will be unveiled, O God, in us in the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the word will be manifested in us, O God, in the witness of Jesus, Father, in the testimony of Jesus, Father. And all that is established in us will be the word explained in who the Lord Jesus is, in all that he has accomplished, that we will understand the word in fulfilled terms. And as we understand these words, and your words in fulfilled terms, they will become part and parcel of your covenant, Father. And in this covenant that you form into our hearts, Lord, we will become, O God, a people of promise, Father, a people of destiny, Father, a blessing to the nations, Father. And all this will be accomplished. Because you are the Almighty God who will truly circumcise our hearts and establish us before you as a holy people. You will establish us before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this realization that will manifest in each and every one of our hearts. Because in this realization, we will be the body of Christ unveiled in heavenly places, tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, unveiled, O God, under the shadow of the Almighty. That position you have given each and every one of us, we know it will be unveiled, it will be fulfilled, it will be established, it will be accomplished, O God, in the merits of the Lamb. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you and bless you, Father, for all that the Holy Spirit is accomplishing in us, O God, unveiling in us, O God, the fullness of Jesus Christ that will fill all in all, Father. And because of his fullness, Lord, all that you have ordained in our lives will come to pass. We thank you and we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of Almighty God. This is module 8, tape 8. And we are on El Shaddai. And we're going to continue today on El Shaddai. This is the second covenant name of God that we are talking about. We talked about this covenant name last week. And we said that it is the name by which God makes covenant with us. Right? So God told Abram, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make covenant with you. I will make a covenant with you. It will be an everlasting covenant. It will be in your flesh forever. And we have discovered last week that that will manifest as God unveils in us the fullness of Jesus Christ and circumcises our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So this covenant is a circumcised reality that God will establish in us. And the hallmark of having a circumcised heart is to have no confidence in the flesh of man. Obviously, this is a growing process. So all of us here have realized certain things in God. And those things that we have realized in God are circumcised realities. They are realities by which we know God is real. We know God will come through. We know God will be with us in those realities. But there are other realities that God will have to bring into our lives and build into our lives as we grow in him. And all this is part and parcel of God's covenant in hearts circumcised. And all this will be accomplished because God is the Almighty God. He is El Shaddai. And because he is El Shaddai, the Almighty and All-Sufficient God, we will come forth as a covenant people with circumcised hearts. And these circumcised hearts will be established in the name of Jesus. These circumcised hearts will function in a witness of blood, water, and spirit. And these circumcised hearts will manifest us as a people who will know the Lord our God. That we will have a heart that will know God. Amen. And all this will be the work of the living God. This will be His creative work in our lives. Praise the Lord. So today we are going to continue with the covenant name El Shaddai. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 3. Book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 3. For context, then Isaac called Jacob, verse 1, and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you." Right? May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. All right. Okay, let's look to verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Verse 11. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All right. Now I want to talk about the passages of Scripture that are most important to us, from verse 15 onwards to verse 19. "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel means house of God. So today we want to talk about the house of God. Because this house of God, this place in which God communicates, this place is the gate of heaven. This place is the gate of heaven. And it is a reality that unveils through the Almighty God. So Isaac, his father, blesses him. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. And in that reality, Jacob goes out. And in that reality, he comes to rest in a place. And in that place, he's open to a vision. And in that vision, he comes to a realization that he is in the place of God. And this place of God is a gateway to heaven. It's a gateway to heaven. And this place is called Bethel, the house of God. All right, let's carry on. Genesis chapter 35, verse 11. This is another encounter, verse 9. "Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, 'Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name.' So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body.'" Verse 15. Verse 13. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel, house of God. So the Almighty God unveils himself in the reality of a place that is called the house of God. And that place is a stairway, or the that place is a gateway to heaven, right? It's a gateway to heaven. Now, what has all this got to do with us? All right. You remember Psalm 91, verse 1? It says that he that dwelleth, or he who is tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So there is a position that God has ordained for us. And that position opens in this place that God is going to develop in our being. I'm going to point this out to you by looking at the life of Lucifer. Let's turn to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. From verse 13 onwards. From verse 12 rather. Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. Verse 18, you defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. And I want to talk about this word sanctuaries. Because a sanctuary is a place consecrated to God. And Lucifer had many sanctuaries open to him. Sanctuaries opened in the name of God. Sanctuaries that were given to him as high places. All right? As high places. And with Jacob, God is opening to him the reality of these high places. And he talks about the house of God that will unveil these sanctuaries to him. God is pointing to the future. But this Almighty God has called us to be a people who will be unveiled in the sanctuaries of God. Who will be unveiled in the sanctuaries of God. Okay, let me show you what Lucifer did with these high places. Let's look at the book of Isaiah, or rather the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13. Verse 15 onwards. God is talking about judgment here. But I want you to show you a principle that there are places called dark mountains. Verse 15 onwards. Hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, because he causes darkness and before your feet stumble. Before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains, and while you are looking for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it dense darkness. Right? Makes it dense darkness. So I want to just point to you, there's such a thing as dark mountains. All right? High places of darkness. All right? So Satan too has his dark places. So those sanctuaries that he defiled have become dark mountains. Right? And occult practitioners rise into dark mountains. Right? Dark mountains. Let's look at another verse. Right? Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 12 onwards. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. God is talking here in the context of judgment. Right? Upon everything lifted up, it shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, upon every fortified wall. Right? You will go to the Psalms and you will find God talking through his servants that he is a strong tower, he is a rock, he is a defense. Right? So this is talking about the opposite side. All right? High mountains of darkness. Right? High towers of darkness. Fortified walls of darkness. All right? And these are powers of darkness. And upon all the hills that are lifted up. All right? So these are the sanctuaries of darkness. Right? Sanctuaries, once they were built to the glory of God, now having been defiled and manifested as sanctuaries of darkness. All right? Okay. And we are pointing to this because it's very fundamental for you to understand, right, this idea of Bethel, the house of God. All right? Because the New Testament addresses you as the temple of God. Okay? So you need to understand, right, that you must not walk into becoming high places of opening high places of darkness. All right? Okay. Let's just continue this part of the whole thing. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 9. From verse 8 rather. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his rising, of his coming rather. The coming of the lawless one is according to the signs, according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Very important for you to understand that. If you do not walk in the love of the truth that unveils in the name of Jesus, it's only a question of time because before you start walking into the high places of darkness. It's very important to understand that. Okay? And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Second thing, had pleasure in unrighteousness. So these places of darkness, these sanctuaries of darkness, right, built in the knowledge of darkness, has got power associated with it. Right? Only thing is, it's a power manifested with lies. It's a power that God says he will demolish one day. He will utterly destroy it. And all those who stand on those high mountains will also die with it. All right? He will destroy them. Okay? So I just want to point out to you that when God starts building this reality of him being El Shaddai, he builds it in the context of a house of God, a place in which he will manifest himself as the Almighty God. Psalm 91 tells us that we are tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. Now that position unveils from a house of God. That position unveils to us as we are consecrated as dwelling places of God, as we are each consecrated as tabernacles of the living God. It's very important for you as you grow in your ministry to understand that everything has to be consecrated to God in the understanding that you are the tabernacle of God, you are the temple of God. It's very important to understand that you can't go ahead and just do things any way you want. God must indwell you. You must open the right spirit. The right spirit opens to you as a gateway to heaven, as a gateway to the heart of God. So you must build that witness inside of you, and that's what we are teaching in this ministry, right? That's why we spend a lot of time talking about the necessity of coming to belong to God. And it's a relationship. All right, it's a relationship that is built on the truth. It's a relationship built out of the cross of Jesus Christ. But I'm running ahead of myself. Right? So this place that is called Bethel, the house of God, is the theme that God develops throughout Scripture. If you remember module 1, we said that Scripture has a flow to it. And that flow of Scripture is meant to be manifested in a fulfillment. Now, one of the flows of Scripture that are personal to each and every one of us is the unveiling of each one of us as a tabernacle and a temple unto God. All right? A place. And this place that is to be manifested and opened within each one of us is meant to be a gateway to heaven. Right? A gateway to heaven. All right? So let's look at this from the context of the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Right? You know that under the law, the first thing that God told Moses was prepare a dwelling place for me, correct? So what does God come to? When he came to Moses, the first thing when he brought out the children of Israel out of Egypt, he says, I want you to construct a dwelling place for me, right? Let's check that out. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That I may dwell among them. All right? So God is pointing out to the sanctuary. That same word is used in Ezekiel, right? That Lucifer defiled his sanctuaries. Right? He defiled his sanctuaries. Here God says he's building. He's going to build, he wants Moses to make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. All right, so this tabernacle is to be a dwelling place of God. And you know that it was a dwelling place made manifest in a tabernacle which had an outer court and a holy place which was called the tent of meeting, and it had a holy of holies. In the Holy of Holies was put the Ark of the Covenant. In the holy place, in the tent of meeting, there were three pieces of furniture, the table of showbread, the candlestand, and then closest to the Holy of Holies, there was something called the altar of incense. The outer court had a brazen altar and it had a bronze laver. And all of these things were elements that are meant to express the meaning of the tabernacle of God. What are the functions of this tabernacle? All right? Well, that's a different teaching, and I don't want to go into those details right now. But what you need to understand is that God had the intent of manifesting a tabernacle. Right? And he is manifesting that tabernacle throughout Scripture under this name of being the Almighty God. All right? And ultimately, in the New Testament, this tabernacle is not just a place. It is actually unveiled in living tabernacles. We are those living tabernacles. We are meant to be living sanctuaries of the living God. So each one of us is meant to be unveiled to the sanctuaries of God. And the names of God unveil different types of sanctuaries. Each name unveils different types of sanctuaries. And these sanctuaries are functional realities in God. Under the Almighty God, there is a functional reality. Under the Most High God, there is a functional reality. Under Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh Jireh, the Lord God who is our provider, there's a whole realm of living sanctuaries that we can draw out of. Right, but you get the picture, right? That in the name of God, there are many sanctuaries. And all of these sanctuaries are meant to be written as realities to be unveiled in our hearts. So all this is very personal to us, right? All this is very personal to us. And you need to understand that the higher picture of what God intends to do with you. So in giving you a ministry, he is not just giving you a ministry, he's building you for the future. Right? Which is why the ministry that you enter into is so important. The things that you start doing are so important. Because in the things that you start doing in ministry, God starts developing the functional realities of the tabernacle of your being. Right? He's giving you eternal purpose. He's building you as a creature of destiny. Right? So you need to understand that there is a whole humongous purpose with your salvation, right? We are not playing church here. We are rising to occupy positions of great responsibility. Positions, right? Which, if gone wrong, will manifest us as enemies of God, okay? So this is serious business. In order that you don't become an enemy of God, always remember you are a tabernacle unto God. And never move out of that reality. And this will happen, and God will manifest this because He is the Almighty God. As long as you walk before Him, you will be blameless. Remember that verse? Right? Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, right? Walk before me and be blameless. If you choose to walk before me, I will make you blameless. Right? You walk before me in the reality of being my dwelling place. That's what God is saying. And if you can walk before me in the reality of being my dwelling place, you will be blameless. Because I will establish you as being blameless. I will establish you as being blameless. All right? Because I am the Almighty God, because I am the all-sufficient God. Lucifer lost out because he walked out on God. And when he walked out on God, he signed his death warrant. Right? So that's the key. Don't walk out on God. Right? Don't have funny ideas about how great you are. Right? Stick to God. Right? And give him the glory. Right? And unveil yourself as a vessel unto him. Unveil yourself in the understanding that you are his dwelling place. That everything that God accomplishes in your life and my life, it is of the stature of who he is and all that he is. Remember David, who said in Psalm 54 verse 1, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy power." All right? That's the key. God saves us by who he is and by all that he is, and he vindicates us by his power. And you must always walk in the power of God. All right? You must always understand that we function in his power. Lucifer thought he functioned in his power. Once God gives you the anointing, there is power that is manifested in that anointing given to you. But if you lose touch of God, that anointing will become a curse. It's very important for you to understand that. So we must learn how to function before God. So that's why God takes a lot of time in preparing us for the ministry. Right? Because he wants that ministry to be unveiled before him. Right? Not doing our own thing, but understanding things in the context of what God is actually looking towards fulfilling in your life. We are sons of God, guys. Hello. If you've never heard that word before, you better hear it now. That you are sons of God. That you haven't been saved to play church. Yeah? We are sons of God, and sons of God are going to hold very high positions in the context of the universe. We are going to bless nations. And God is just telling us that in the basics of going to bless nations, you must be a sanctuary for him. And if you walk out of him, you will die. And Lucifer is the example of that foolishness. So don't choose the way he went. All right, so God is the Almighty God. And what the Word of God is saying is that because he is the Almighty God, he will make you his sanctuary. But you must understand that this will only work if you choose to walk before him. If you choose to walk before him, you will be holy, you will be blameless. If you choose to walk before him, he will circumcise your heart and remove all your fleshly ways. If you choose to walk before him, he will make you his temple. He will make you his tabernacle. He will make you his dwelling place. And you will be alive to him, and you will be able to function by him all the time. This is not difficult. This is a reality of grace, right? He says, walk before me and you will be blameless. I will accomplish it. What you must remember is you must never walk away from me. All right? Okay. So God symbolizes the establishment of this place called Bethel, the place of God, right? By telling Moses immediately, I want you to construct a tabernacle for me and I will dwell there, right? Praise the Lord. We come to the time of David, and in the time of David, the outer court was established in a place in a mountain called Gibeon, I think. Or Gibor. No, Gibeon. And on that mountain, they did the sacrifices unto the Lord. But David established a tabernacle in Jerusalem. And the tabernacle in Jerusalem had the holy place and the holy of holies. And in the holy place, David and his priesthood of worshippers worshipped God in the holy place. The Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies, but David and his ministrals of song and dance ministered to God in the holy place. And God is already showing that this place that he is talking about is to be a place that is to be unveiled through worship. It is to be a place that is going to be unveiled in an intimacy. Right? It's an intimacy of joy. It's an intimacy of love. It's an intimacy of human expression before God. Right? All right? It's meant to be a place of freedom and liberty. It's meant to be a place where people can enjoy the presence of God. So dancing and worship and praise is all very much part of life in the temple of God. All right? Are you with me? Okay, you need to understand that. So after the time of David came the time of Solomon, and Solomon constructed the temple. And in Solomon's temple, for instance, there were 10 lavers. There were 10 candlestands. There were 10 tables of showbread. Right? And 10 represented completion. So in the tabernacle of Solomon, God is pointing to the temple of glory. Right? And we will come to that shortly. But that temple of Solomon was designed with a very specific purpose. And I just want to take one verse that points to the heart of that. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 16. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. When a house is sanctified, it becomes a sanctuary. Got that? Sanctified means being set apart unto God. That which is set apart unto God is called holy. When you are set apart unto God, God begins the process of making you a holy vessel. And being sanctified to God is a work of God. Under the law, it was the work of man. Man tried to be holy unto God. Didn't quite work. Comes to the New Testament, God says that he will sanctify us. All right? And he sanctifies us through the word of the cross. All right? Through the word of the cross. Let me just get that down the line. Let's put your finger here in Chronicles. And let's just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross, the word message there is logos. It should have been translated word. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Right? It is the power of God. Praise the Lord. It is the power of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Right? Let me read that from the New American Standard. It comes out so much more clearly. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, by the Father's doing, by the doing of Almighty God, actually. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Righteousness, right action. Sanctification being set apart unto God. Redemption being totally set free. Right? So the word of the cross is the wisdom of God. The word of the cross, which unveils the power of God, is the wisdom of God that enables us to be righteous, enables us to be sanctified, enables us to be redeemed, set free. Set free from the body of your flesh, so that you will be the dwelling place of God. All right? The word of the cross deals with the brazen altar. Are you with me? Because on the brazen altar, the sacrifices were done. And Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled those sacrifices. So the first instrument that is the basis of everything else that takes place in the tabernacle of God, it is that brazen altar. It is the cross of Jesus. So the word of the cross is the wisdom of God, and it enables us to be righteous. It enables us to be sanctified, which is to be holy. It enables us to be set to be redeemed. It enables us to be a people unveiled in freedom. Right? So being a sanctuary unto God is freedom and liberty in the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So which is why when you are in the Spirit, you are free. Right? You can soar as an eagle. And those are realities that God wants to establish to us through the word of the cross. All right? Can you get that? All right. See, the word of the cross is tied to a sacrifice. If you took the Mosaic tabernacle, or you took the tabernacle, the temple of Solomon, entry was always based on a sacrifice, right? Entry was based on the sacrifice. Even in the Davidic covenant, entry into the holy place was based on the fact that elsewhere in a place called Gibeon, right, there were sacrifices being done. I think it was Gibeon. I can't remember that place. Right, okay. There were sacrifices being done. On the basis of that sacrifice, there was communion with God. Okay? All right. So let's go back to Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7, verse 16. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. Amen? That my name may be there forever. All right? You remember what El Shaddai told Abraham? That I will circumcise you in your flesh. And it will be an everlasting sign. Right? It will be an everlasting sign in your flesh. Let's turn to that. Genesis chapter 17. Verse 13. Second half of that verse. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Right? And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. At this point, the covenant was made in the foreskin of the male. Right? You know that the foreskin of the male doesn't last forever. All right? So God was already pointing to the covenant that will be manifested on circumcised hearts. So Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 16, Moses tells the children of Israel, stiffen your neck no more, but be circumcised in your hearts. All right, be circumcised in your hearts. So that covenant of flesh, heart of flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3, heart of flesh, right? That heart of flesh God has to give you, and he will circumcise that heart of flesh. The purpose of that is so that the name of God will be manifested in your hearts forever. All right? In your hearts forever. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are you with me? So that pure heart comes as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? 1 John chapter 3 verse 3. He who sets his hope on Jesus Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. Catch it? All right, remember that? So hope opens all this to us. Right? So God is telling us here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 16, for now I have chosen and sanctified this place that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. that my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Well, the temple of Solomon is long gone. Did God lie when he said, my heart and my eyes will be there perpetually? No. He's talking about a temple that Jesus would come and establish, right? A temple Jesus would come and establish, right? And last week when we looked at the name Almighty God, we found that Jesus talks about himself as Almighty God. Remember that? Revelation chapter 1, right? Revelation chapter 1, let's turn to that very quickly. Verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. These are the words in which Jesus spoke to John the Apostle. Right? Got that? Praise the Lord. Okay? Now let's turn to John chapter 2, Gospel of John chapter 2, verse 19. John chapter 2, verse 19. What did Jesus tell the Jews? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What did he raise up in 3 days? He rose up from the dead in 3 days. And lo and behold, the building block for the temple of God was opened in the Spirit. Right? So verse 21 says, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. So we are his body. Am I right? We are his body. So which is why Paul teaches that you and I are the temple of God. Right? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Amen? And the reason why God gets so angry is because the temple of God is meant to accomplish his will and his purposes. And the temple of God is meant to be a place in which he will unveil himself, unveil his name, unveil his eyes, unveil his heart, unveil his presence, unveil himself through human vessels who will then communicate the wonder of God to the nations. And the well-being of the nations will depend on these human vessels rising to the position God has ordained for them. Catch that? Amen. So it's very important for you to understand that when God starts taking you into ministry, he's teaching you how to function by him. That's why it is so important. Right? It is not just doing your own thing. Right? You have to understand that. It is not just simply trying to say things out of your own flesh. You have to learn how to function by the Holy Spirit, because the temple of God is made functional by the Holy Spirit. And everything that is brought to function in the temple of God is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Hello? From the altar, from the brazen altar to the altar of incense, it's all Jesus, isn't it? Right? Those seven candles in the lampstands, the seven lights, right? Are representative of the seven spirits of God that are personified in the Lamb of God and open to us. You find that in Revelation chapter 5. Right? Let's look at that. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 6. Chapter 4. Verse 5 says, and from the throne proceed flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, and these are the seven spirits of God. And these seven spirits of God are meant to be manifested within the temple of our being. All right? Your spirit man, right, is called a candle of the Lord, right? It's called the lamp of the Lord, all right? Look at chapter 5, verse 6. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Right? Seven there is not the literal number seven. Seven represents perfection. Seven also represents the process of our being perfected. All right? So the seven spirits of God were perfected in the Lamb of God and made available to us. Are you with me? Through his sacrifice. Amen? And what it's saying is that the seven spirits of God were perfected in the manhood of the Lord Jesus Christ and given to us as a blueprint so that we will function in the right spirit. All right? We will function in the right spirit. And all this is part and parcel of the unveiling of our tabernacle as a house of God, as Bethel. Are you with me? And all this that is taking place is the work of the Almighty God in our lives. Amen? And it will come to pass because it is the work of Almighty God. If this was your work and my work, we are all talking about something that is way beyond us. But if this is the work of the Almighty God, then everything is possible. Just remember the key. The key is this: walk before me and be blameless. Right? If you walk before me, if you choose to walk before me, you will be blameless. I will accomplish this in you. Right? Which is why there are so many things that God is doing in our lives which we can't understand. Why does God take me through this? Why does God take me through that? Why does God put me through the mill? Right? To change you. Right? To change that will so that you will choose to say, I will walk before God. A lot of the painful things that we go through in our lives is because it is our inherent nature to walk independent of God. And God puts us through the mill in order to get our thick heads aligned with Him. Right? That's quite a hard process. Right? It takes many, many years. Right? Some of us refuse to. But if you think you can beat God, good luck to you. He will have his way. You can be sure of that. He will have his way. Right? So always remember this, that he will have his way. Right? But the place of God is a place of joy. When you come alive to God in the right way, the fruits of the Holy Spirit tell you. It is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Right? That's very joyful. That's very good to have. Right? So you need to understand that you and I are the temple of God, and God is in the process of manifesting this temple to His glory. Praise the Lord. Okay? So this house that God is building in you and me is the work of the Almighty God, and the purpose of this house is so that God can unveil His name. But God's name manifests in many different realities. So there are many sanctuaries that God wants to open to you. Do you know that all of the covenant names that we are going to talk about in module 8, are all meant to unveil in you as living sanctuaries? It's available to all of us. That's one of the reasons why Lucifer wants to kill you. He can't understand how rubbish picked out of the earth, breathed into, can become sanctuaries where he used to walk, you see. Kind of gets him all riled up. Right? But we will stamp all over him because one of the covenant names of God is Yahweh Shalom. And in Romans chapter 16 verse 20, God says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Isn't that nice? Right? So persevere with God because that reality, the God of peace, is a covenant name of God, Yahweh Shalom. It cannot just happen in fleshly zeal. It cannot just happen out of fleshly zeal. It has to come forth by the name of God. It has to come forth as you unveil as a tabernacle unto Him. Because Yahweh Shalom is the presence of God within you in peace that passeth all understanding. The peace that comes out of covenant. Are you with me? Let me show you another verse. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Covenant of peace. Where does this covenant of peace begin with? It begins with the work of El Shaddai, right? The Almighty God. It opens to you the reality of Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace, the God of victory, in whose peace nothing can shake. All right? It brings into you the unshakable things of God. So, in unveiling the names of God, we are unveiling the names of God in relation to what God means to accomplish with you and me. What is the position He means to give to you in the sanctuaries of His name? So in the Most High God, He means to give you high position. Right? High position. In the Almighty God, He means to tabernacle you in that position and unveil you under His shadow. All right? In Yahweh Yireh, the name of God that is the provider, He means to provide all that is necessary so that you will be able to function in that position. Can you catch that? So He says, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Genesis chapter 22 verse 14. The mount of the Lord is the reality of the Most High God. The mount of the Lord is the reality of position to be unveiled under the Almighty God, the El Shaddai. And in that position, God becomes your provider. And He's providing for you so that you will occupy that position. We are only thinking of a new Mercedes Benz and a, right, an added zero to our bank balance, and we think God has blessed us. We don't even understand what the word blessing means because we still think so carnally. God is talking about raising sons in high places to be kings. Why is Jesus called the King of Kings? Who are the kings? We are the kings. He's the King of us. Lord of Lords. Who are the Lords? We are the Lords. But He is to be the Lord of us all. But those positions don't open if we think like chickens scratching for that proverbial worm. We are meant to be eagles. You have to rise up to see the things of God. Praise the Lord. Okay? That's why when God deals with our nature, we must understand that it's absolutely necessary. Right? Because Lucifer fell because of his nature. Right? So you must receive of the nature of Jesus Christ so that you can hold this position in God. All right? Okay. So how do we become the tabernacles of God? Let's turn to Hebrews. These are things we have done before in other teachings, but let's go back to it. Like I said, the word of God can be repeated a million times. It will tell you new truth at new levels a million times. That's the difference between something that God unveils and something that man unveils. So never get tired and never think that you know the word of God. You may know a little bit of the word of God, but there's so much more to learn from those verses that you think you know too. All right, so let's look at verse chapter 3 of Hebrews. From verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. So the house of God must be built by God. You are the house of God, and that house must be built by God. Don't try and put it the other way around. Right? So God told Moses and his people, you shall build this house for me. All it could become was a symbolism. In the end, all of those tabernacles disappeared. But God is now talking about the tabernacle that he has raised as the body of Christ. Amen? The temple that he is raising as the body of Christ. Verse 5, now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. And that's what we are doing now. We are unveiling the things to be spoken of later. So, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. So you and I are the house of Christ. That's a royal household, by the way. You and I are the house of Christ. It's very important to understand why God put those words Christ there. Why didn't he put house of Jesus? Why did he put house of Christ? That means it was a house to be built in the spirit of Christ. Right? Right spirit. All right? Right spirit. Okay, let's turn to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 9. Verse 1. Wisdom has built a house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Why seven pillars? Seven represents perfection. Hewn out because those pillars are going to be built in perfection by being perfected. The process by which those seven pillars are going to be built is by a process of perfection, of being perfected. So God begins at one level and he takes us from level to level. And at each level he is perfecting us. This is the work of God. In order to enter this process, all you have to do is to walk before God. As long as you walk before God, you will be blameless. And God will perfect you from level to level to level to level to make you the vessel that God wants you to become. It's the work of God. Praise the Lord. The house of God, right? The house of Christ. Amen? All right. Now let's look at what the house of Christ implies. Ephesians chapter 3. From verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. What do you think the breadth, length, height and depth refers to? The size of the temple that you are. What is God saying? That there's no limit to the growth of this temple. That there's no limit in length, breadth, height and depth. All right? What's the key to this growth process? You being strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man so that Christ may dwell in you. Always remember that. So that Christ may dwell in you. Why Christ may dwell in your heart? Because you are the house of Christ. You are the house of Christ. And the house of Christ is meant to grow length, breadth, height, and depth. Verse 19. And in this growth process, you are supposed to come alive to something that is the love of God and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Christ has loved you and he has opened to you the riches of God's glory. He has opened to you the reality of being strengthened in him, by him, through him. Verse 19 says, And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Make sense? Amen? Obviously, this is the work of Almighty God. Can you see that? You are not going to do it, and I'm not going to do it either. Right? Remember the key to walk into this? Walk before me and be blameless. What does the devil try to do? He says, don't walk before God. You've got so many things to achieve in the world. Let's go out and get it. Don't get me wrong. By all means, go out and do what you need to do. But do it in and by and through God. Don't do it in the world system. Do it in and by and through God. Learn how to build a relationship with God. Learn how to work through God. Learn how to work and learn by God. Learn how to tap into the wisdom, the knowledge and understanding that comes from God. Don't be stuck with your intelligence level. God, your God, can create you. The length, the breadth, the height, the depth covers wisdom, knowledge, understanding, covers strength, covers counsel, covers, right? The truth covers the Word of God, right? It just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. But in order to grow like that, the focus must be on Jesus Christ. Because El Shaddai comes to us only in the name of Jesus. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. The Almighty God. Understand that? Those were the words of Jesus Christ. Now God the Father is also called the Almighty God. And the Holy Spirit is also called the Almighty God. But where Almighty God becomes personal to you and me is through Jesus Christ. Amen? So we are called the house of Christ. Praise the Lord. So you cannot grow as a Christian just merely talking about anointings. It has to be Christ. It has to be Christ Jesus. It must be the Christ who opens to you the name of Jesus in an intimacy that opens to you the name of God. Listening. Almighty God. Amen. Now let's go to Revelation. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Notice the words, from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. You see, the highest fulfillment of Scripture is Bethel, the house of God. Can you catch that? Right? The highest fulfillment of Scripture is the creation of the house of God. All right? The dwelling place of God. The greatest blessing God can possibly give you is to make you his dwelling place. Our carnal natures find that hard to understand, but that is the truth. Verse 4, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Do you know that those words, faithful and true, are opened inside of you in a witness of blood, water, and spirit? Remember the teaching? Right? That the witness is open to you as the true and faithful witness. And that true and faithful witness is described as blood, water, and spirit. And that's already inside of you. So when you develop your ministry, when you develop your life, develop it through that witness, because that witness will never fail you. And he said to me, verse 6, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's how Jesus introduced himself, right? The Almighty God. Right? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the waters of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So sonship is opened in you and I being tabernacles of the living God. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. See, this is the spirit in which you must move in. The spirit of God, not the spirit realm, guys. All right? In the spirit of God. Your focus should always be on God, not the spirit realm. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. That was why when Jacob slept, he slept on a stone. He took that stone and he bathed it with oil, and he bathed it with a drink offering. You will find that Abraham did the same sort of thing. That stone. Later on, that stone was referred to as the stone of Israel, the shepherd. God, who is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. You find that in Genesis chapter 49, when God blesses Joseph. We'll talk about that next week. All right? We haven't done with the name of God yet, Almighty God. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. In Revelation chapter 4, when God the Father is described on the stone, on the throne, he's described as a jasper stone and sardius in appearance. All right, so we are in that image, having the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Right, and the glory of God is being filled to all the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what have we done today? That part of the reality of Almighty God is going to come as you and I understand that we are meant to be tabernacles of the living God. Amen? You must understand that. It is the tabernacle of God that is going to unveil the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So please, notice again, I'll remind you, Psalm 91 verse 1. He who is tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That position on a high mountain under the shadow of the Almighty opens to a tabernacle. You must be tabernacled. All right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that the Almighty God has the intent and purpose of manifesting each one of us as the house of Christ, so that we will become members of the tabernacle of God, Father. A holy people who are brought forth as sons of God. And we will each be your workmanship, the workmanship of the Almighty God, the all-sufficient God. So Father, we realize, O God, that the covenant that you make with us in circumcised hearts is meant to unveil us as living temples, Lord. And as we grow in our ministries, Lord, you have the intent of enabling us to understand how to function in you and by you and through you. Lord, it's not the scale and magnitude of things we do. It is what we are doing it by, O Lord, that counts. And if we are doing all things in the Almighty God, we are doing well, Father. The things are not measured by the size. They're not measured by the appearance. They are measured, O God, by the content, O God. And the content is to be your workmanship, Father. So we are being created in Christ Jesus for the good works you have ordained in our lives. And that is the work of the Almighty God. So we thank you and bless you that the name El Shaddai is a name by which, O God, you create us and fashion us and make us the blessing you want us to be, Father. It is a long process, Father, but it is a genuine and real process. And every stage of this creative work that is established in us, Father, will reveal its rewards, Father. And we will be blessed and we will be a blessing in everything that we become. So we thank you for persevering with us. We thank you that by the Holy Spirit we are meant to be strengthened in our inner man so that Christ will dwell in our hearts. So that we will come alive to the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of all that you have given us in Christ Jesus. So that we will, O God, in this reality, come alive to that awesomeness of his love. So that we will truly be filled to all the fullness of God. And this fullness of God is your glory, Father. And we thank you that your glory is meant to be manifested in us. So we are reminded once more, O God, of your words to Solomon, Father. That you mean for this house to be a place for your name. You mean for us, O God, to be a house in which your eyes and your heart are to be unveiled. So, Father God, enable us to understand that it is intimacy with you that is the hallmark of true ministry. It is intimacy with you, O God, the ability to live by you, the ability, O God, to live in you, the ability of being able, O God, to realize the sanctuaries of the living God that are the skill that you mean for us to know and have forever, O Lord. So bless the church, O God, in this revelation. And may the church understand, O God, that nothing comes except in and by and through the name of Jesus. O Lord, it is not our magnificence that is going to build the body of Christ. It is the magnificence of Jesus, unveiled by the Holy Spirit, in accordance with your will and your purpose for each one of us, that is going to accomplish all this, Father. It is his fullness that is going to fill all in all. Enable us to hear clearly, understand and receive, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.